Hebrews 13:4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. You may be seated.
It's great to have a good number again. We've had several weeks where we've had a lot of traveling and numerous things and activities going on, and maybe just our attendance wasn't maybe what it should be, but it's great to see it back where it is today, and we're thankful for that, and thankful for each one who is present. We have a big night tonight, and hope that you'll come and be a part of that. We need all kinds of ways to be involved, from preparing food to bringing candy to give out, setting up a trunk, to having children here, grandchildren, and your children to come and dressed up and participating. And so we have a lot of activities going on. Begins at 5 o'clock and runs through worship, and then the evening chili supper following worship. Should be a good time. Honoring your marriage. We started last week a series that will conclude this morning, just a short series of three lessons. It was last Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and then this lesson this morning, thinking about the topic of behind closed doors and looking at what's really going on in our marriage. And last week we started with thinking about the true person in our marriage and how we need to try to know our spouse, their experiences, their backgrounds, their fears, their insecurities. And we need to be open with who we are and trying to really not pretend but be really true in terms of our person, who we are. And then Sunday evening we looked at the true foundation and some issues and topics that we need to be willing to talk about in marriage that establish the core foundation of our marriage. And then this morning, we're thinking about honor in our marriage, or the true marriage. How do we put these things together to create a kind of marriage that God would be pleased with? And we're going to be thinking around the topic this morning of honoring our marriage. Let marriage be held in honor among all. And in our society today, marriage is not being held in honor as a culture, as a society, and even amongst those who often are married. And so we want to begin by stating today and trying to encourage people that if we're going to encourage our society to honor marriage, then we first have to, in our marriage, honor the institution of marriage and honor our spouse in marriage. But before we do that and think about honor, I want to begin by thinking about two key problems that are often present in Christian marriages that keep us from honoring our spouse as we should. First problem that is so common to us today is neglect. What I mean by neglect is we live in a lifestyle that is so busy. And if you have children in your home, you have a lot of activities connected with them, and they create an entire distraction for your marriage all in and of themselves. And then you got your work. You've got your own hobbies and recreation. You've got church. You've got all kinds of things. And oftentimes we, both men and women, can neglect to prioritize, neglect to be able to spend time with our spouse, neglect to be able to really honor and care for the marriage. I saw a little cartoon about a man who was sitting down with his wife, and he said, "Honey, I really want to spend time with you and the kids now." And the lady replies, "It's nice you want to spend more time with the family, but the kids grew up and left home years ago." That was a little cartoon talking about how sometimes we can allow life to happen underneath our noses, if you will, and not even realize, because time goes so quickly. And we can neglect our family and neglect our marriage. And so this can cause lots of problems, and it causes us not to know the true person, not to have a true foundation, and it causes us to have problems in our marriage. That's one key problem, and we struggle with that, and so we're going to talk about how to deal with that as we go through and honoring our marriage. But the second problem that's connected to this is control. Oftentimes when we are not connected, when we don't have the time with our spouse, when we don't really know what's going on in their life, we don't really know what's going on in their heart, and we really aren't around to know what's going on with the kids or with our spouse, then we try to make up for that by, when we are there, and this can be man or woman, when we are there, controlling. Now, lots of times in a spiritual sense or in a traditional sense, Sadly, power and religion often go together. And lots of times it is the stereotypical, and it's the sad issue that there's often a man, or what could be a woman, but we often think traditionally of a man who may be a leader in the church. And everybody looks at him and thinks what a man he is, what a great person he is. But at home, his family lives in fear of him, and not a healthy fear, but in a fear that he is always trying to control them in order to protect his image and his reputation. And they know who he really is. They know who he really is. And he makes up for his neglect by trying to control. And women can do the same thing. When they are so busy with all their personal pursuits or all their activities, that they often will, that they're neglecting these things, but they try to make up for that with trying to control their husband or nag their husband or complain to their husband always to get him to do what she wants, or try to control the children without really being engaged in loving the children. So these two key problems go together. And the answer that we want to submit to us this morning is that when these problems happen, and let's be honest, all of us are going to struggle to a degree with these things because we're busy people and we have challenges and we're selfish people and we're prideful people. So we're going to struggle with neglect and we're going to struggle with control and we want our way. We want the other family members to do what we want to do. And so we're going to struggle with these things, but the issue that I want to submit that should run through all these to help us overcome these problems is honoring our marriage and putting it back in a priority in our lives and with our home, in our homes and with our family. And so we must think about what does it mean to honor our marriages? You see, because the Bible would say much about this. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible would speak about this concept in verses 1 through 7. I want to read this entire passage. "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the words, that they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Wives, see that you're respectful in your pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way." Notice this. "Showing honor to the woman as to the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Notice that Peter says that we need to show honor, and he's talking in this first six verses about how wives are to show honor or respect to their husbands, even those who are unbelievers. And then he turns to the husband and he says that you need to show honor and understanding to your wife. And then if you don't, it can hinder your prayers. It can harm your own spiritual life. And he says in this that if you do show honor and you do understand her, then it's going to allow her to be an heir with you of the grace of life, of the good things in life. This term honor is one that is translated in other places as valuing in reference to money. For example, it's the same term used when it talks about Judas receiving 30 pieces of silver for the value of Jesus. When he betrayed Jesus, he received that. That was the value he was given. He appraised Jesus. He honored Jesus by exchanging that for 30 pieces of silver. Or it's the same term that's used in Acts 19 when it talks about the value of the books that were burned. It's a monetary term for value. And we shouldn't put a value on our spouse per se, but the idea is, how much do we value? What is our spouse worth to us? You see, that's what this term means, honor. to value highly, to appraise. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, the Bible says that it should be held in honor amongst all. And the first place that we should hold marriage in honor of is in our own home, in valuing our spouse. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon would write that a wife is a special treasure. She's a precious treasure. That it's a rare thing that you're blessed. He who finds a wife has found a good thing. It's a blessing. We should honor our spouse. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talks about the same concept when he talks about the relationship between Christ and the church. And he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. See, he honored the church by giving himself for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And he says, in the same way, husbands love their wives as their own body. He says that we should, notice this, verse 29, we should nourish and cherish just as Christ does the church. Now the term cherish involves the same concept of apprising or valuing highly. We should honor our spouse and honor our marriage. And so what does honor mean? When I think about honor, what I'm trying to say is that honor involves the idea of the person carrying weight with you. Now, lots of times weight's a bad term to mention in marriage, right? So I'm not talking about it, not telling you husbands to go tell your wife you think she's kind of heavy. What I am saying is she ought to be heavy in your heart. That's this term for honor or glory or value. She ought to mean a lot, and he ought to mean a lot in your heart. It's connected with these biblical terms of glory and value, that you bestow value. She's precious and he's precious. That's what honor means. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus says, whatever you treasure, there your heart will be also. That's what he says when he makes the statement. And so what he's saying is that wherever you place your treasure, wherever you place your value, that's where your heart's going to be. Now, in Luke's account, Luke chapter 12, verse 34, it explains it so powerfully. It says, for where your treasure is, so there will your heart be also. And when you apply this to marriage, and Jesus is talking about money, when you apply this to marriage, what he's saying is that if you treasure, you value your spouse, even when you don't always feel like it, and all of us have those times where we don't feel like it, your heart will follow. That your heart is chained to whatever you treasure. I read a story. I haven't done this. I should. But I read a story I thought made a good illustration this week. Amanda will probably remind me that I need to do this. But it was writing down all the things. This man said that him and his wife had gotten a big argument, and his son was actually telling the story and said, I went in and checked on Dad and see what he was doing. And he was reading a list, long list, and his son said, what are you reading? He says, well, I'm reading this list of things of how your mom is a value to me. All the things she has done over the years that I value. And he said, I've just started this list and I would keep up, you know, things that she did that I love, that I appreciate. And he said, every time we get really upset at each other, I'll come in and I'll start reading. He said, for about the first little few items I read, I think, well, that doesn't apply anymore. She don't even do that anymore. And he said, but I keep reading through it. He said, my angerness, my bitterness just slowly starts to work away as I continue to read all the things and think about over our decades of marriage what she has done and what she means to me. And then I'm able to go back in and discuss and have a better view of your mom than I did before. You see, that's the point I'm trying to say, is that what Jesus is saying is that what we treasure, there our heart will be also. We must value and honor our marriages, because neglect and control are not the way to do it. But we must try to love the true person, and we must try to honor our spouse. Now, let me read for you or illustrate for you what honor means in a practical way by sharing a list. For example, to honor means your spouse feels safe to think for themselves. That is, that they are encouraged to be able to think for themselves, and that you're not always going to just control everything about how they think, and that they can be in their own person and you can approve and accept how they think. Your spouse is encouraged to talk and know that their words will be valued. In other words, you're not going to dismiss them like you might a young child, but you're going to value them because they're your spouse. Your spouse knows that you're honest and open with them, and so they can trust you that you're honest and open because you value them and you're not going to deceive them. You're not going to lie to them. This is why lying and deception are so harmful to a marriage, because it destroys the honor and the trust of a marriage. You refuse to keep score, keeping a running tally, of all the mistakes they made, but rather you keep score, you keep track of what the other person is giving. You subconsciously appreciate all that the other person is doing. Notice, honor means you value and care for what they value and care about. In other words, you may not always appreciate everything, but because you honor them, you can appreciate and value what they care about. So, because you care for them. And then you are attuned to their needs, their stresses, and their personality. That is, you're always learning them. You're always studying them, and you're attuned to who they are and allowing them to be who they are. That's what honor means. You see, if I value my spouse, then I'm going to treat her in a way that's different from everybody else. I'm going to honor her in a way that says, you're precious, and I'm not just going to be sliding in my remarks and cutting in my thoughts, in my words that I use. I'm not always going to just be neglecting to spend time and care for them, but I'm going to be thoughtful. I'm going to be valuing that relationship. What's interesting is when I was studying this, I looked at a book that shared how, had a chapter on how honor is conveyed in the little things. And thinking about 1 Corinthians 7, that's what Paul is basically saying here in verse 33 and 34. When he says the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided, and the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. So notice that a wife and a husband have a responsibility, Paul's saying, of caring or being anxious about how to please. And in a book called Highly Happy Couple, Highly Happy Marriages, where she interviewed over 3,000 couples, over 1,000 couples over 3 years, close to 100% of all husbands and wives said that these actions, I'm going to give you 5 things for men and 5 things for women, matter, with between 65 and 90% of all husbands and wives saying these actions would deeply please them. In other words, I'm going to share a list for the men and a list for the women that came from this research of 5 little things, small things that you can do through the course of your day, through the course of your life, to show honor to your spouse. And that marriage is often built in the day-to-day life, not just in getting the big things right, but it's also built in what makes the difference often from existing and having a happy marriage is these little things. And so the fantastic 5 for him. So these 5 things, ladies, in this study, these 5 things, most all men, most all husbands found that these things deeply pleased them. Number 1, when you notice his effort and sincerely thank him for it. When you sincerely notice what he does, what he has done, and you express gratitude or thanks for that. And so whether it's, you know, what he did in helping you with the dishes, or what he did outside, or what he did at work, what he did for the children, whatever he did, you sincerely appreciate him for that. Number two, when you say, and this is similar to number one, some of these kind of have a similar, but you did a great job at. Men like to be encouraged. They like to feel like their wife noticed them, and you did a great job at, and you fill in the blank. Number three, mention him in front of others, something he did well. Notice all these kind of tying into that admiration, that idea that you think well of him. Instead of always complaining or always running him down or thinking negative, because coming off last week's lesson, men often have fears, they often have insecurities too. But you appreciate, instead of in public running him down or making fun of him or laughing at him, you appreciate something that he did well. Number four, shows that she desires him sexually and that he pleases her sexually. And so there's that part of your intimate life. It's something that you let him know you appreciate and that you're loyal and faithful to him in. And number five, and this one is probably the most surprising for a lot of ladies, you make it clear to him that he makes you happy. Lots of times, you know, we, especially in our culture, there's this emphasis about happiness, and we often downplay that. But we get married, and we think about, we want our wives to be happy. And men work a lot, and they do a lot of things. And a lot of those goals is they want to provide for their family. And they spend a lot of effort in those lines. And they want their wife to be happy. And a lot of their comfort and their happiness comes because we all know if mama's not happy, nobody's happy, right? And it means a lot when you communicate that you appreciate what he does and that you are thankful for the life that he is helping you have. And let him know that you make him happy and you're thankful to be living your life with him. Now for her, fantastic five for her. Number one, when these are things, men, that most all women say that when he does these things, it makes me pleased. In highly happy couples. Number one, he takes her hand. For example, when walking through a parking lot or sitting together at movies, when you just let her know that you care. Number two, when you leave her a message by voicemail, text, email, or note card saying he loves her. Just a little note, just a little text, just something to say throughout the day. I love you, I appreciate you. Or how's your day going? Or how'd that go with the child or with your assignment at work? How, you know, just touching base and letting them know you're thinking about them. Number three, when you put your arm, this is your clue, guys, when you put your arm around them at church or in a public place, or you put your hand on your knee, sitting next to them in public. The idea is, as the one lady communicated in the survey, that it just says to them that everything is okay, that we're good, and that he cares about me, and that I am his, and that he notices and cares for me. Number four, when you tell her sincerely, you're beautiful. Women have so much pressure often when it comes to this area of life, and we talked about that last week, and all the images out there that make them feel bad. They need to know that you love them and you appreciate who they are, and their beauty and their attractiveness to you. And then number five, when he pulls himself, and this is probably once again like number five for the ladies, maybe one of the more challenging ones and surprising ones, and maybe hard one to do sometimes. When you pull yourself out of a funk, when you are morose or grumpy or upset about something instead of withdrawing. In other words, when you had a bad day at work or you're just frustrated with life, lots of times we'd come home and we'd take it out on our wives. And it's not their fault. And what they're saying is that, lady, men, if we would, instead of just withdrawing and doing our own thing and maybe getting mad at them and fussing at them, if we would pull ourselves up and not take it out on them and realize that we don't need to be fussing and arguing and fighting with them over our own issues or our own struggles or the bad day we had that was caused by someone else. And so these are fantastic five for her. So as we think about these things, those are some practical things you can do. And really what this involves is pursuing one another. 1 Corinthians 14:1 talks about pursue love. In the movie Parent Trap, I know many of you have probably seen that, the old one and the new one. And of course, it's involving two twins who were separated, and they're trying to get their parents back together. And in that show, they're finally talking, and they're discussing this. And she says, you know, he says, why did you leave? And she says, well, I was young, and we both said things. We both had an argument, and we wondered, you know, I just left. And I got on an airplane, bought an airplane ticket, and got on an airplane. And she says this line, you did not come after me. There's a lot of ways, guys, where women love romantic novels and they love those stories. They love that idea. And in those stories, you know, there's always, in any of those chick flick movies, there's always this ending with the guy choosing usually to come after her. There's been some conflict, there's been some problem, but he comes after her. There's this pursuit. We need to, both spouses, always realize that marriage is about pursuing one another, about honoring one another, about valuing one another, about coming after one another, even when there's been conflict. There's one last story, and then we will extend the invitation. But I was reading a book on the Oregon Trail, and it's fascinating to think about some of the issues with the Oregon Trail, and of course, you can see some of that when you travel out west today. But one interesting story that came out of that was that there are several gravestones along the Oregon Trail that contain unique writings. For example, there is one in Plum Creek of Sarepta Fly, who died on the Oregon Trail, most likely of cholera in 1865. And the gravestone has unique engraving that was not possible at that time in that location. And so it came from a distant place. It probably came from Kearney, Nebraska, about 200 miles away. And so how did that gravestone get back there? Well, it probably got back there by a wagon or something like that. But the apocryphal legend that has developed in several places, like six or seven of these stories in different places along the trail, are like this, that a grieving widower goes back to a city, in one place all the way back to St. Joe, Missouri, and pushes with a wheelbarrow. This is the common element. They all have the grieving widower pushing a stone, sometimes a heavy 200-pound stone, with the wheelbarrow back to the grave of his deceased spouse. Now, why has that story grown? Why did that legend develop over time? Well, it seems that legend developed because it taps into something that's very core to us as humans in our marriage. Number one, we want to have honor. We want to have honor. And number two, all of us, in some ways, can be like that grieving widower who feel like we did not honor, we did not value, we did not appreciate our spouse enough when we had them. And so we make some effort, some monumental effort, after they're gone, to still show the world how much they meant to us. And what I say to you is something that all of us as married people need to remember if you're married, is that you don't know how long you're going to have your spouse. And that they should mean, and you talk to people, we have numerous ones here who don't have their spouse anymore. And they'll tell you what they meant to them and how much they miss them every day. Appreciate and honor and value your spouse. And let them know that. Because we are never promised our own life or the life of our spouse into the future. So let's honor our marriage and honor our spouse while we have today. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, then please come as together we stand and sing.